Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you. You're listening on iTunes and Spotify. We always appreciate your support and love hanging out with you guys here as we head into the weekend. Just a handful of days left in 2023. Let's finish the year strong. We have some picks against the spread. We have some NFL props. We're going to talk about a couple start and sit situations as well. If you have any questions at all, you can leave them in the comment section on our YouTube page. If you are listening on iTunes and Spotify, we appreciate you guys. If you want to hop on over, subscribe for free, of course, to our YouTube page. Smash the like button. Any comments, any questions, start or sit, I will get to them. We clip some of these videos as well on TikTok. If you have any questions on there, I'm always circling back on those videos. So give us a follow over there as well. I'll post a link inside the description of this video to our TikTok page, IG. Always circling back to try to help you guys out. Of course, this is the final week of fantasy football playoffs. It is the championship week. So any kind of advice that I can give, I am here for you guys. You can reach out at Chris Meany or meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I don't have a lot of takeaways from yesterday. It was definitely a higher scoring than I thought it was going to be, especially with Amari Cooper ruled out of that game. We did hit up on a couple decent props here from yesterday. You know, we had squinted this one out a little bit. Garrett Wilson, the over 4.5 grabs and 47.5 receiving yards. Breece Hall just continues to get a ton of work. The Jets can't block, and I mean, Simeon can't throw the ball down the field. So there's a lot of dump offs, a lot of check downs. Breece Hall had a fantastic game. He's finished really, really strong for fantasy owners after what has really been a disappointing season for the Jets and a couple of their skilled players. Of course, things changed a couple snaps into the season when Aaron Rodgers went down. David Njoku, we touched yesterday. We did not get the touchdown, but we talked about him being a potential league winner of fantasy football MVP since Joe Flacco has taken over in the Browns offense. You know, he's really popped off, and he had over 100 receiving yards. Jeez, he had like, we hit this in the opening drive. So he's been a big-time player. We'll keep an eye on him next week as well, and I'm sure we won't get the 48.5. And then we did not get this. We needed one more carry from Jerome Ford. I saw some Pierre Strong getting some carries, Kareem Hunt. Those things were in the back of my head as a possibility, especially if the game got out of hand. But my apologies on that one. And I didn't have Ford ranked high enough in my rankings either. So a big L on my part. He was catching some passes out of the backfield. He found the end zone a couple times as well, receiving touchdowns. So Ford had a good game, and hopefully I didn't steer you guys in the wrong direction there. Again, if you have any tough decisions to make here this weekend, hit me up. Projections, rankings, it's all the links inside the description of this video to check out over at ftnfantasy.com. So hopefully we can get that championship for you guys as well. We do have some starting sits that I'm going to get to in a little bit, plus some picks against the spread as well as some touchdowns. But I wanted to start here with some props. Let's get them out there early in case some of these numbers do change. The Prop Shop, the Parlay Calculator, these tools are both free, and they can save you a lot of time and save you a lot of cash. And there's links inside the description of this video as well. Let's start here with Brandon Ayuk, over 66.5 receiving yards. Minus 114, best price I'm seeing over at the Prop Shop. This bet in the tracker yesterday. Averaging a career high 85 receiving yards per game and a league high 18.5 yards per reception. A big play guy. Of course, we know that Brock Purdy in this offense, a lot of big plays across the board. Brock Purdy's basically, I think it's close to 9 yards per attempt when he throws at the line or behind the line of scrimmage. Of course, there's all kinds of yak monsters on this 49ers squad. I also like Debo Samuel. George Kittle popped off last week. It is a really good matchup against the Washington Commanders. We know that this is a really bad secondary. They've allowed the most yards, the second most passing yards. They rank 32nd in pass DVOA and 31st in defensive DVOA over at ftnbets.com. The most points allowed per game at 30. And the second most fantasy points to wide receiver. So I also like Debo Samuel, but I'm taking the over 66.5 here for Ayuk. 110 yards last week. The second time he's had 100 yards over the past 3 weeks. And he has 6 100-yard games this season. Ayuk having a really nice season and topping the breakout campaign that he had last year, 1,000 yards. He's got 1,200 so far this season with a couple games left to go. I'd even consider laddering him up to 100 here. I'll have that in the bet tracker. I haven't looked off the top of my head, but that's probably, I'd say like plus 250, plus 300 for him to get a hit the century mark again. And again, it's something he's been doing here in about half of his games and taking advantage of some pretty soft matchups. Chris Olave there, 66.5 receiving yards over minus 110. I believe that's over at FanDuel. We have the Bucs here who have allowed the most passing yards per game in the NFL at 265. They're top 10 in yards allowed overall. I know the defense has been a little bit better lately, but still giving up some big plays in the secondary. The fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers. And Tampa, league high, 194 receiving yards per game to wideouts. Olave, 100-plus yards in three of his last four, 94-plus in four of his past five. When he's in there and he's healthy, he's getting targets from Derek Carr, who's playing pretty good football over the past couple of weeks. Not going to spend too much time here on Cooper Kupp. This is a number that could change. 5.5 minus 122, a little bit of juice on this one, but he's got 6-plus grabs in four straight games. He looks healthy again. It's a really good matchup against the Giants. They'll probably run the ball here a little bit. I know Puka Nacua is questionable, but it does sound like he's going to play in the game. And I think both of those guys are top 12 wide receivers this week against the Giants. And we know that Kyron Williams is a top five running back against them as well. He probably finds the end zone. But I like Kupp, 38 targets over those four games as well. A healthy dosage from Stafford, who's playing really good football. Nico Collins at over 59.5 receiving yards at minus 110. This is a number that I think will move here as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday. The matchup here against the Tennessee Titans, the seventh most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, using our splits tool over at ftnfantasy.com. And I know it's mostly games with CJ Stroud, who's expected back this week after missing the past couple weeks. There was one game over the last 2 weeks without Stroud. Nico Collins didn't play either, but using the splits tool, these are the numbers that Collins is averaging with CJ Stroud, phenomenal young rookie quarterback for the Texans. 7.2 targets per game, 5 catches, and 83.7 receiving yards per game, half a touchdown per game. Overall, 16.4 fantasy points per game in a PPR setting. The 18 yards last week without CJ Stroud really missed him. Healthy 16 yards per catch for Nico Collins this season, which ranks 11th among wide receivers and 5th among wideouts with at least 80 targets. James Conner here, over 11.5 receiving yards at minus 114. If you look at the numbers overall, you see that this is a bad matchup in your Yahoo league. You see there's red next to James Conner's matchup against the Eagles. They haven't allowed a lot of fantasy points to the running back position, but this is a bad run defense over the past couple of weeks. They haven't been able to tackle. We saw Saquon 80 yards, Kenneth Walker 80 yards over the last 2 weeks. They've allowed a rushing touchdown in four straight games. Tony Pollard and Rico Dowdle combined for over 100 rushing yards as well. 51 carries over the last 3 weeks for James Conner, which is nice to see if you're a Conner owner. I think he's worthy of a play this week, even in a championship matchup. But even with all the carries, 50 plus in the three straight games, or the three total games rather, 8 catches on 8 targets over the last 2 weeks. Plenty of touches. Should be a few dump offs from Kyler. No Hollywood Brown in this game. The Eagles are big favorites, but they have struggled defensively. They've had some turnovers offensively too. But if they do get up in this game, we could see a couple dump offs to James Conner. And then inside the same game, DeAndre Swift. I expect the Eagles to run the football over 14.5 rushing attempts and over 65.5 rushing yards. I would take 15.5 plus money if it moved to there, to that line. I'd take anything over 70 rushing yards for DeAndre Swift as well. He racked up 20 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown last week, 15 fantasy points, got 18-plus carries in back-to-back games. I mentioned the Eagles are 12-point favorites here at home against Arizona. They've allowed a league-high 147 rushing yards per game and 26 fantasy points per game to the position. Also a league-high, third in yards per carry, 4.7. The second most points overall allowed per game. They're dead last in rush DVOA. That's over at ftnfantasy.com. And then you just got to hope, you know, if you want a touchdown from Mr. Swift, you just got to hope that he doesn't get stopped at the one, because you know what's coming. It's the brotherly shove, tush push, which is, I know it's a pain in the behind for DeAndre Swift owners and maybe him himself. I heard Jason Kelce talk about it in the New Heights podcast. He said he was stopped at the one and they all huddled up and he kind of looked at him. He's like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you know, what's coming, right? And it's the brotherly shove, and Swift is getting vulture touchdowns, but he did score last week. And he's a risky play to bet as an anytime touchdown. But I think the Eagles, you know, the past couple of weeks running the football on teams that you can run the football on, Seattle and the Giants. And I think this week with Arizona, we'll see a little bit of that as well. So those are the props that I have for now. A whole lot more over at FTMBets.com. I got a couple touchdown props here for you guys, starting with a couple chalky ones. They're in order of how I like them. We'll remove that scroller at the bottom there for the people that are viewing on our YouTube page here. Let's see. I'll just leave it. It's a surprise. It's a surprise. See if you guys can guess it watching live here. But Cooper Kupp up at the top, plus 110. Talked about Kupp and all the targets that he's had over the past couple of weeks and the 6-plus grabs in 4 straight games and over 30 targets over that span as well. And he is scoring some touchdowns of late, as I mentioned. He looks like the old Cooper Kupp, right? He's battled some injuries to start the season, midway through the season, a couple setbacks there. 3 touchdowns over his last 4 weeks. I'm going to take this every time there's plus money there. I have no problem taking a touchdown prop and around these numbers, these first few that you see, it's basically just a little over double your money. I'm all right with that. I know everybody's looking for a long shot touchdown call. I got a couple there towards the end, but I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp. Talked about earlier, Brandon Ayuk, why we like this guy in Washington, 33 passing touchdowns allowed. It's the most in football and 4 TDs over the last 7 for Mr. Ayuk. And as I mentioned, he has 6 100 yard games this season and he leads the NFL in yards per catch. So it could be a big play for Brandon Ayuk. I like the receiving yards, same game parlay maybe for him to score, maybe you alternate yardage of 100 plus and you get a little juicy there. Mike Evans, man, I don't know what else to say of this guy. I'm surprised we're getting plus money. He's got 13 touchdowns on the season, 4 games this year without one. Week 4 against the Saints, he didn't score, but we know the history between him and Marshawn Lattimore, and Lattimore has had really Evans's number over the last few years, but he's not going to play in this game, so we can dial up Evans with confidence, of course. We can hope that he finds the end zone. And Nico Collins, the 7 touchdowns on the year. He did score last week without CJ Stroud. We talked about CJ returning to this game, 4 TDs over the last 6. Another big play guy and a big boost, and really a good matchup against the Tennessee Titans. Rashee Rice, kind of like our guy. I feel like we always have Rashee Rice on this board. He's got 7 touchdowns on the season and among the leaders in yards after the catch and red zone targets, 9-plus targets in 5 straight games. He has turned into Patrick Mahomes' go-to guy, including Travis Kelce. He has leapfrogged him in terms of targets. And this is a really good matchup against Cincinnati. I mean, the Bengals entering this week have allowed 8.1 yards per attempt. So it's a good spot for Mahomes and company to get right this week at home against the Cincinnati team lacking defensive weapons and then also without Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase looking doubtful in this game. I got the 2 tight ends in the Saturday game there, Sam Laporta and Jake Ferguson. These are 2 of my favorite guys. Laporta is always used inside the red zone, near the red zone if it's not David Montgomery running it in. And Jake Ferguson, I think because Dallas is home, we can feel a little bit better about this offense. Of course, we know that they are under 500 on the road, but over their last, I'd say 14, 15 home games, they're averaging nearly 40 points per game dating back to last season, and 4 of the 5 touchdowns Ferguson has scored this year have come at home. Isaiah Likely, I like this number. I think it's pretty solid at plus 260, 2 touchdowns over his last 3 games. He got 17 catches over his last 4. He's filling the Mark Andrews role really nicely for the Baltimore Ravens. Trey McBride, plus 220 here. He's only got 2 touchdowns on the season, but he's got 37 targets and 31 catches over his last 4 games. Like, this guy is like a walking 7 to 9 targets, a couple games is double-digit targets. No Hollywood Brown. Again, double-digit dogs here on the road. The Eagles have struggled against tight ends all year long. So this is a pretty good spot for McBride. He's a top 5 tight end for me. And like these tight ends, Laporta, Ferguson, Likely, McBride, I would consider them as like flex plays. There's one league that I'm rolling out Laporta and Ferguson in my flex spot. A high total game, I think we could see some offense. I'd rather roll out these tight ends than a Deontay Johnson or a Terry McLaurin. That's really where I'm at this point of the season. You see touchdowns on this board from tight ends. That 5th one here, that final one that you can't see at the bottom, is Juwan Johnson. He's got touchdowns in back-to-back games. Carr looking a little bit better over the past couple weeks. He's looking to throw inside the red zone. They've used Taysom Hill inside the red zone, I suppose, a little bit less over the past couple weeks. I don't know if it's a health thing or not, but Carr has looked good over the past 2 weeks, and Juwan Johnson's got the touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. I also think Rashid Shaheed is a decent little dart throw as well for an anytime touchdown. He's at a very similar price, but the Juwan Johnson's that's at 4-1 for him to score. We did hit in the tracker plus 650, I believe that was last week. As for Rashid Shaheed, it does sound like Chris Olave is going to play in this game. Shaheed scored a touchdown last week. He's very boom or bust from a fantasy standpoint. But if you think if you're looking for a home run play, he could be all right for you. But 9 targets, 5 grabs, 70 yards and a touchdown last week. The 13 targets, 8 grabs last 3 games since returning from an injury. He does have a few scores on the year. I do believe he's got 4. So we could see maybe a couple long shots and what could be a fun game between the Saints and the Bucks, and a lot on the line for both teams, especially the New Orleans Saints, to try to keep their season alive. So those are the touchdown calls there. Cooper Kupp, Brendan Ayuk, Mike Evans, Nico Collins, Rashee Rice, Sam Laporta, Jake Ferguson, Isaiah Likely, Trey McBride, Juwan Johnson. They're ranked in order of how I like them. Before we get to some start and sits here, let's take a look at the picks board here. The NFL betting show we record on Wednesday. It's live on our FTN Network YouTube page with Mike Randall, myself, and Abby Labar. We've actually been pretty hot fire with some of our picks over the past few weeks. We talked about the Rams at 5-1 making the playoffs. A lot still needs to happen for them. They could win this week and still lose next week to the Niners. The Packers went out and they would have that tiebreaker. They could also clinch this week with a Seattle loss and a Rams win and a tie between the Vikings and the Packers. Like, all kinds of different random scenarios, but I do think they'll get in. Next week is not going to be easy. You know, I don't know if the Packers lose this week to the Vikings, that game next week won't matter. I don't believe they would still find a way to get in. There's so many crazy playoff scenarios at this time of the year. Nonetheless, week 17, like the Rams. I like the Rams at 5.5. I like the way that Stafford's playing football lately. They've moved inside the top 10 in offensive DVOA. Stafford over the last few weeks, 14 touchdowns and 1 interception. Those were games against Cleveland and Baltimore where he combined for over 600 yards and 6 TDs, 328 last week. Kyren Williams has given them a whole lot on the ground. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp is balanced inside this offense and against the Giants as well. So, I mean, the Wick's going to dial up some pressure. He's going to get after Matthew Stafford, but I just really like where this Rams team is at. They are getting pressure themselves on quarterbacks as well. So give me the Rams to win this game by 6 points, minus 5.5. I like the Raiders plus 3.5 as well. I know Randall talked about the Colts on the money line, and I did pick Indy to win the game in our FTN picks. All my straight up picks can be found with Ratcliffe and Randall and Pfeiffer and Lochner from our FTN fantasy account. I do believe I tweeted that out. But Pierce has got this Raiders team playing defensively. Of course, I don't believe in Aiden O'Connell. He didn't even complete a pass in the second half against the Chiefs last week. They still won the football game thanks to their defense. And the defense is making plays. 12 sacks, 4 touchdowns over the past couple of weeks. 5 fumble recoveries. Got the 2 interceptions in each of the last 2 games. So they're getting after the quarterback. They're making plays in the secondary. Gardner Minshew's got 9 picks over his last 10 games. It does sound like Michael Pittman will return. That's why I lean with the Colts here at home. They still have something to play for. The Raiders also have something to play for, believe it or not, if they win out. And the Chiefs, if the Chiefs lose this week, and the Raiders and the Broncos win, the Raiders and the Broncos will play each other next week. And I do believe it would be for the division. One of them would hold the tiebreaker, which is wild to think about. If somehow the Bengals upset the Chiefs this week and the Raiders and the Broncos were able to win next week, Raiders and Broncos would be for the division. What? That's crazy. It's unbelievable to me. Oh, my goodness. We're stuck in a blender. Now we're saving lives. What? I'm taking the Raiders and the points here at plus 3.5 because of the defense and how they're playing. I can't tell you with confidence that Josh Jacobs is going to play, but Zamir White has been good over the last 2 weeks and 20 plus touches and good from a fantasy standpoint, an RB2. Have him on standby again if you're a Jacobs owner. And I like the Steelers plus 3.5 as well to keep this thing close. Mike Tomlin get this defense playing. Mason Rudolph gave them a whole lot. We talked about that, I think, this week, certainly on the Sirius show with Lauren Carpenter. I was just stressing that I thought Rudolph was the best quarterback for all the weapons inside this offense. And I don't think that he's fantastic, but Trubisky is just not a great passer. He doesn't make the decisions. He's too slow. Kenny Pickett as well. I just not really feeling, like Kenny Pickett's going to be a big part of the Steelers' future moving forward. I'm not saying that George Pickens is a great play this week, Deontay Johnson, but I just believe that he can make some of these throws that some of the other quarterbacks in Pittsburgh that we've seen over the past few weeks haven't been able to make. So I think that the defense alone will keep this close. We've seen Seattle playing a lot of close games over the past couple weeks, a couple walk-off touchdowns for them to get, you know, some wins. I like them to win at home. I understand that Seattle's a tough place to play. Watt leading the NFL in sacks, get some pressure, you know, on Geno and company. Maybe they can stop the run. I think this game will be a field goal game. I think both of those games will be field goal games. I'll get to a couple other spreads and I'll share a couple other of my picks to see if, you know, for your pools. Tampa on the money line, Baltimore on the money line, and Green Bay plus 110. I liked Green Bay before Minnesota was switching over from Mullins to Hall. I just, and you guys know I'm not a big believer in the Packers. I've actually been against them over the past couple weeks. We had the Giants to cover on the spread at 6.5. Last week we had Carolina on the spread to cover as well. But Minnesota, I don't know the status of Jordan Addison. It sounds like there's actually a possibility that he'll play at the time of recording right now. I'd be surprised, but it sounds possible that he could suit up a return to practice in like a limited fashion. We don't know TJ Hawkinson. You can run on the Packers, but the offensive line in mini's not great. And I like Ty Chandler. I think he's worthy of a flex play, even like him over Madison, but this still not doing a whole lot on the ground game. Now you're going to Hall. Do they go to Mullins if he struggles? It sounds like Green Bay is going to get healthier at the wide receiver position. Minnesota's defense, run defense a little bit better. It's my upset pick. I'm trying to give him one upset pick. I did pick the Packers in my own pool over at ftmfantasy.com. I'm not just giving it for the sake of giving it, but that is the team that I think will, and it's basically a pick 'em now. I think because some of the changes at the quarterback position, but I think Jordan Love and company will go in to mini and find a way to win this game. I like unders in Arizona and Philly. I just feel like the Eagles, I know their defense has been great, and the offense, I mean, they put up nearly 500 yards of offense last week. So they moved the ball well, and I expect them to move the ball well against Arizona, but I expect some long drives, running the football, killing some clock. And also their struggles inside the red zone. Like they've had long drives. Go back to San Fran. They started off that game against the Niners where they had two long drives and San Fran didn't do anything. They had negative yards, I think, in the first half of that game when the Niners blew them out. Maybe it's a different game if they find a way to score on those two opening drives. They moved the ball against the Niners easily in those two opening drives and settled for field goals and were up 6-0 instead of 14-0. We saw that against Seattle at the start of the game. We saw it last week against the Giants again at the start of the game. They moved the ball and they were just settling for field goals. So long drives, extended plays, maybe Arizona does the same thing with James Conner. You can run on Philadelphia 48.5, taking the under. Our model also likes it. That is New England and Buffalo. The under 40 there as well. New England's defense has come to play this year. They played some really good football defensively. So I expect both defenses to play good. I don't expect the Pats to score a whole lot of points. And Buffalo has also kind of changed their identity on offense. I say also Philly has changed lately, despite getting away from what worked well for them over the past couple of years. But the Bills running the ball a little bit more with James Cook taking the under 40 here. And the over between the Saints and the Bucks. I think that, like I said, this one could be a fun fantasy friendly game here. We have Carr, who's playing really good football over the past couple weeks, got six passing touchdowns and one pick over the last 2 weeks. And we have Baker Mayfield, who's been unbelievable over the last 3 or 4 weeks as well. Double digit touchdowns. Talking about Mike Evans earlier, I think we could see some scores here. I'd see like a 23-20 game. That gets us right there. I think both teams will get to 20. Could be whoever has the ball last, maybe like a little bit of a walk-off field goal. It's going to be a good one. Should be a good football game with a lot on the line. My money line parlay is Houston, Baltimore, and the Rams at plus 232, like the Rams. I do like the Ravens. I didn't really touch on that one. I think Miami will hang around, but no Waddle. We saw last week how crazy good this Ravens defense is and what they can do to an offense. I mean, San Fran was the hottest offense going. Everybody's talking Brock Purdy, MVP, throws four picks. The offense can't move the ball. Playmakers all over the field on that side and for Baltimore. And I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them on the money line at minus 168. And there's a little bit of juice there. I'm also going to take them at minus 3.5. I think that they win the football game by 4. And I do believe that there's a 3 still out there for the Ravens if you want to just take them on the spread. We got a four-leg teaser here, or four-point teaser. This is a massive six-leg, right? One, two, three, four, five, six-leg at plus 750. Bear with me. Detroit plus 10. I don't think Dallas is going to blow them out. I think Detroit is – I was considering them as the dog here. I do like the 5.5, plus 5.5. I'm going to take the lines in my own pool at plus 5.5, but I've teased that one down here a touch at plus 10. Keep it close. They're going to be competitive in that game. We've teased down the Eagles to win by a touchdown. I'm going to pick Arizona plus 12 in my own pool as well. But I like Philly here at minus 6.5, the Rams at minus 2, the Bills at minus 8, the Niners at minus 9.5, KC at minus 3. So you got the Chiefs and the Rams to win by a field goal here, the Eagles by a touchdown. We got some large spreads here with Buffalo and San Fran, but I think San Fran's going to crush Washington. I think that they're going to win by like two or three touchdowns here, and then Detroit at plus 10. So those are the picks against the spread. We'll move on over to some other NFL lines. I'm just going to rapid fire through some of this stuff. A shout out to the Browns, first NFL team in history to make the playoffs, having four different starting quarterbacks for them in a season. Unbelievable. Flacco, again, made some nice throws in the second half. They slowed him down a little bit, but you know, the Jets defense certainly didn't come to play. They had no answer for David Njoku, but the Browns actually have a chance to be the number one seed. The number one seed, and we said on Mean Streets yesterday, the first time in 70 years we've seen these two teams, Detroit and Cleveland, have 10-plus wins in a season. 70 years! They're both going to make the playoffs. Cleveland could be the number one seed if Baltimore, you know, struggles this week. It's crazy to think about. As I said, I will be taking Detroit there in the plus 6. You're rolling out all the weapons. I have Gibbs. Even Montgomery is a flex play. He could have fallen into the end zone for a touchdown. I do have him ranked as a low-end RB2. Miami and Baltimore there, we touched on Baltimore. You know, you're playing. I still think you play Mostert. Gus Edwards, you hope for a touchdown. I do believe he's like a flex play, really. There are some better options. He's not getting a ton of run, even though he's the only guy there last week getting the carries and getting some touches inside the red zone. He just seemed to score every other week. It's kind of like Montgomery at this point, not super efficient, not as many touches, but leaned on when they get inside the red zone. That's certainly the play that they go to a majority of the time. Like Flowers, like likely. Oh, baby. Texans and Titans, like Houston, going to be taking the Texans there. Nico Collins. I think Noah Brown's a little risky, but if he does play, you know, with CJ Stroud coming back, and Stroud's a top 12 quarterback, you know, because he's coming back here. I don't want to play anyone really on the Titans. The Houston defense has been pretty good. I think, you know, as a low end RB2, you have Henry, you made it this far. You know what the ceiling is like. He could score a couple touchdowns at this point. You know, you probably don't have better options. You play them. And then I think Dalton Schultz is a borderline top 12 tight end as well. It's a really tough matchup. The Titans have the fewest fantasy points to tight ends, but I think Stroud coming back and Brown not being 100% and him getting some more usage with Tank Dell being sidelined. I like the Bucs, as I mentioned. I'm going to take them there, the minus 3. I think there's a 2.5 out there as well. If it did get to 3.5, I would take the Saints, but I lean with the Bucs to win the game by a field goal here. I already talked about the Raiders. I think definitely Michael Pittman plays. You roll him out. Jonathan Taylor, you roll him out. Uncertain about Josh Jacobs. Just don't know what's going on there. I was surprised. I heard Antonio Pierce say that he was expecting him to play last Monday night, and he didn't play. That did surprise me. So just have Zamir White. If there's no Jacobs, Zamir White's a top 15 running back. He's getting all the touches. The matchup is great. He's had back-to-back weeks with like 20 touches and 14 fantasy points there. He's catching some balls too. So, away you go. Adams, you play. Jacoby Myers, I'm not crazy about. New England and Buffalo there. It's a large spread. As you saw, I teased that one down. I do expect the Bills to win this game by a touchdown, 10 points, 12, 13, I think now in some spots. If it gets up to 13.5, 14, I'll probably have to take New England, but I am leaning Buffalo here. I am leaning Arizona on the spread. The Eagles just haven't shown me a whole lot. Sloppy on offense, turning the ball over, sloppy on defense. Could be a backdoor cover. Gannon, defensive coordinator last year at the Eagles. Maybe he's got a couple secrets there against his former squad. Rolling out McBride, all the Philly weapons, Swift, and I like Connor as well as a top 20 running back this week. Atlanta and Chicago, I am leaning with the Bears. I think the Bears are a good defense. I also think the Raiders are a good defense, both top 10 this week. I would play Chicago over the Raiders, but I think they're both really good options for you this week. I wouldn't play anybody on Atlanta. Bijan Robinson only, and I don't love the matchup. I really don't. It's a really tough spot. The Bears have been great against backs all year long. As for Chicago, No Mooney, Komet, DJ Moore. Have you made it this far? I think you play those guys. This is DJ Moore. I don't have as a wide receiver too. I have him as a high end three outside the top 20. He's been quiet over the past couple weeks, not super healthy. And the Falcons have been really good against wide receivers. Fields, you're playing. San Fran to Washington, all the San Fran guys. I try to avoid everybody to Washington, including Antonio Gibson. I don't care if Brian Robinson's out. I know that Rodriguez is out. I don't care that he gets all the touches. It's just, it's not a good matchup at all. It's like a desperation flex, full point PPR. You hope he catches five or six passes. I don't want to play anybody in Washington, including Scary Terry. The Rams are rolling out all the weapons there. The Giants, I do like Saquon. It's just about it. Tyrod is worthy of a consideration play in super flex leagues because he comes with a little bit of a rushing floor there. He showed the deep ball against the Eagles last week, Darius Slayton. He did end up with double-digit fantasy points playing one half, and he could get up to 40 rushing yards, which is like a free touchdown there for you. Carolina and Jacksonville actually don't want to play Calvin Ridley if there's no Trevor Lawrence. It sounds like Lawrence has a real possibility of missing this game. If he does play, I wouldn't play him either. I'll touch on him in a little bit more. Carolina, I don't want to play anyone, even including Chuba Hubbard. He's getting some touches. You know, he's got double-digit fantasy points in like five straight weeks, I believe. It's a tough matchup. Jags been pretty good against running backs. Don't think we'll see a lot of scoring in this game. I like Carolina plus the points as well in this matchup. Pittsburgh and Seattle, we touched on that. You know, I'm still nausea over Jalen Warren. He's still getting more of the work, kind of acting like the goal line back. I think that Warren is a little bit more explosive. I think he's a risky flex play. I think both guys are kind of risky flex plays. But I like Najee, I think, a touch more than Chuba Hubbard here. Seattle, Kenneth Walker, you roll him out there. DK, roll him out there. You could find better options probably than Lockett and JSN. Like I would play T. Higgins over them as we move on to the next game. I do believe the Chiefs will cover and get right here against the Bengals. Mix in low-end RB2. You hope he catches a couple passes out of the backfield. If Chase plays, you play him. And if Chase returns, I still would play T. Higgins. And if there's no Chase, T. Higgins is a borderline low-end wide receiver one. He's been pretty good over the past couple weeks. The Chargers, I think this spread has changed. I think it's maybe 3.5 or so. Of course, there's no Russ. I don't play anyone in this game. If you could avoid... Like Javonte, I think that they're going to lean on Javonte and he's going to run the rock and he's going to get 15 plus carries, but I can't say that with confidence. Moving on from Russ and going to Stidham, maybe they lean on the ground game a little bit, but there's still P. Ryan getting into 2-minute drills. You still have McLaughlin as well, but should they get near the goal line, it should be Javonte. We saw a rushing touchdown last week. And on the Chargers side, Palmer's not going to play. Keenan Allen's not going to play. I like Gerald Everett. Get to him in a little bit. Also like his receiving yard prop and reception prop. We've touched on him over the past couple weeks, especially last week. We touched a lot on Gerald Everett. Definitely on the serious show, we talked about Easton Stick going to him and being the number one guy with Palmer there and how there's no Palmer there, but it's the battle of Easton Hockey Stick and Jared Stidham. I don't think we'll see a whole lot of offense, a whole lot of points. Don't want to play Cortland Sutton, but I understand you made it this far. He's been great for you. Maybe a flex play. You hope that he finds the end zone. We're not playing Jerry Jeudy, and I'm not, you know, Quentin Johnson desperation. If you're in deeper formats, you know, he's him and Gerald Everett. There's not a lot of moving pieces there. Now I think Eckler, I liked what I saw from Eckler last week. I definitely liked him getting touches and getting a lot of the snaps. So he's in the conversation. Like, he's probably the best play in this game as a borderline RB2, and Javonte right there. Our projections really like Javonte as a top 24 running back. And on the Packers side of things, I'm not playing AJ Dillon. I am playing Aaron Jones, even though the Vikings defense has been good. Ty Chandler, I think, is worthy of a play. You're playing Justin Jefferson. There's no Jair Alexander on the other side. It's a joke story, by the way, of him making himself the captain and then almost having the Packers punt the ball away twice in the first and second half. Got to be careful how you go about those coin tosses. Anyways, Addison, if Addison plays, I wouldn't play him either. I don't want to take any risks at this time of the season in my championship game. What if he suffers a setback and he doesn't play? I don't think he's like going to be a decoy or anything, but if he's out there and he suffers a setback and he rolls an ankle in the first series, it's just like, oh my goodness, really? I don't want to deal with any of that. So I got some starts and sits here. Some of these I tried not to make super obvious, like, you know, Brock Purdy, like, come on, we're starting Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy had a brutal game last week, and hopefully you just made a bye. You know, don't worry about last week. Last week was a tough matchup, toughest you could really get for a quarterback. This week against Washington is as best as it can get for a quarterback. So I wouldn't worry too much about Brock Purdy this week, but I did leave him off the board. These are some players that I would start in week 16. Actually, we're week 17. These are some players that I would start in week 17, your championship week. CJ Stroud is back. If there was any concerns about starting CJ Stroud, don't have any concerns. This is a good spot for him. He's been great a majority of the year, 16 plus fantasy points in five straight games. And over that span, he's got a showing of 42 fantasy points, 30. He's hit 19 plus in two straight games. A matchup here against Tennessee, inside the top five in quarterback completion percentage against, and inside the top 10 in passing yards per attempt allowed as well. How about Derek Carr? 46 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks. I think he's a top 12 quarterback this week. He's got six passing touchdowns over that span and just one pick. Tampa's allowed a league high 264 passing yards per game. They're top 10 in yards allowed per game, the ninth most fantasy points to quarterbacks, and the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers. Of course, we're rolling out Chris Olave. And you see Rashid Shaheed here as a dart throw play if you need one. He's very boomer bust. But if you are looking for a home run play, maybe you went up against the Browns defense or David Njoku here, or somebody pops off in that Saturday game, you're looking for a home run play. Nine targets, five grabs, 70 yards and a touchdown last week. He's at 13 targets, eight grabs over the last three games since returning from an injury. And we talked about the Bucs secondary giving up some big plays here. This one may seem risky. It's a super flex play only. Tyrod Taylor against the Rams, 11 points in the second half last week. He could end up with 30 or 40 rushing yards for you. I know that there's not a lot of weapons there, but we know that the Rams are going to move the ball, and there could be some chucking. There could be some garbage time stuff there for Mr. Taylor. For example, again, super flex leagues, I would play him over Zappe, Will Levis, Bryce Young, Taylor Heineke, Jacoby Brissett, Mason Rudolph, Jared Stidham, Aiden O'Connell. And I'd play him over Jaren Hall and Easton Stick as well, as along with Jake Browning. So he's a borderline top 20 running back. It's a super flex play only. DeAndre Swift against the Arizona Cardinals. He was a star for us last week. He racked up 20 carries, 92 yards, and a score, 15 fantasy points. He's got 18 carries in back-to-back weeks. It's been really good spots for him over the past couple weeks against the Giants and the Seahawks, and this one is as good as it can get for a running back. They've allowed a league-high 147 rushing yards per game and 26 fantasy points per game to running backs. Arizona, that is. The Eagles are 12-point favorites here at home. The third most yards allowed per carry at 4.7, the second most points allowed over all in the NFL. They're dead last in DVOA defense and 31st in rush DVOA, according to FTNFantasy.com. You just got to hope, again, that he doesn't get stopped at the one, because you know what's coming, and it's the brotherly shove. James Conner, inside that same game. If you're looking at the overall numbers, it'll tell you that the Eagles are a bad matchup for a running back. They're inside the top five in eliminating fantasy points to running backs, but they've allowed a rushing touchdown in four straight games. Saquon, 80 yards last week. Kenneth Walker, 80 yards on the ground 2 weeks before, 2 weeks ago, rather. Pollard, Rico combined for over 100 rushing yards. 51 carries over the last three games for James Conner. Eight catches on eight targets over the last two. Should get plenty of touches and a couple dump-offs if Arizona is trailing in this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's questionable to play in this game. Isaiah Pacheco is questionable to play in this game. If Pacheco suits up, you roll him out. If Pacheco doesn't play, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an RB2. He may get 20-plus touches. McKinnon is not going to play in this game. 100 total yards in Week 15 against New England without Pacheco in that game. CEH has 10 catches over his last four, seven for over 100 yards over the last 2 weeks. Since he inside the top 10 rushing yards allowed, T3 and yards allowed per carry, and the most yards allowed per pass attempt. So I think it's a get-right spot for a lot of Chiefs here. Pacheco, I would risk playing him. And I think if you're in a 14-16 team league, I also believe CEH may be worthy of a flex play, even with Pacheco in the lineup. If you had any doubt about CJ Stroud, and I know you don't, you're rolling him out, and also his weapon in Nico Collins. Seventh most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers using the splits tools over at FTNFantasy.com and games with CJ Stroud. Seven targets per game, five catches, and 83.7 receiving yards per game. Nico Collins averaging 16.4 fantasy points per game in a PPR setting with CJ Stroud. Just 18 yards last week without Stroud. T. Higgins, talked about him a little bit earlier. He's a guy that you roll out, you play him with confidence, and you don't worry about it. Even if Chase sits, 16 targets, nine grabs, over 200 receiving yards, and three touchdowns over the last couple of weeks. Chris Godwin, only one receiving touchdown on the season, but you have to love the volume and the usage lately. 10-plus targets in three straight games, 33 over that span, and he's hauled in 21 of those 33 looks from Baker Mayfield, excuse me, nearly 300 yards of offense over that span as well for Mr. Chris Godwin. Dalton Schultz, well, actually, what else do we got here? DeMarcus Robinson. Let me give some love to DeMarcus Robinson. It does sound like Puka Nacua is going to play in this game. But even still, I think in deeper formats or a flex play, considering how good this Rams offense has been and Matthew Stafford with the 14 passing touchdowns and the one pick over the last few weeks, 19 targets over the last three games for DeMarcus Robinson. He's got touchdowns in four straight, 44 plus receiving yards in each one of those games. The Giants top five in yards allowed, sixth in points allowed, fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers. And then Stafford, as I mentioned, just the one pick over the last five games, 14 passing touchdowns. I do believe he is worthy of a flex play and somebody to consider in the betting market as well. I also got Brandon Cooks there if you're looking for a home run play in a potential high scoring game on Saturday against the Lions. Gerald Everett, a tight end that you can play. I think he's a borderline top 12 tight end. Like, I would roll him out over Kyle Pitts, for example. 16 targets, 12 grabs, and 83 receiving yards over the last 2 weeks with Easton Hockey Stick. Nobody has received more looks from Stick than Everett, who has 4+ catches in five straight weeks. And this matchup against Denver is the best on the board for a tight end. They've allowed the most fantasy points and touchdowns to tight ends this season. You see Dalton Schultz on the board as well. This is the opposite of the matchup for a Gerald Everett. But, you know, Tennessee has allowed the fewest fantasy points to tight ends, but I've seen an uptick in usage since the loss of Tank Dell, and he could be the number two option behind Nico Collins. I do expect that, actually, with CJ Stroud coming back. All right. Let's get to players that I would sit in week 17. Tua against Baltimore. I think this one speaks for itself, but a couple matchups over the past couple weeks for Tua, which haven't been fantastic. You look at the box score, you see, okay, that's all right, but from a fantasy standpoint, not so much. 9 points against the Jets, 9 points against the Titans, 13 against the Giants, 15 against the Cowboys last week. Now he has to face Baltimore, and look what they did to Purdy and the hottest offense in football last week in the Niners. No Waddle for Tua. This is an easy sit. Baltimore league best 5.5 yards per attempt, fewest fantasy points, fewest points overall per game, at 16, fourth fewest yards, sixth fewest passing yards, second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. If Trevor Lawrence plays, good for the Jags, but I would not play him. And if Trevor Lawrence sits, I would not play Calvin Ridley. Carolina's allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. As for Tua, Carolina's sneaky good pass defense. I know that they've given up a lot on the ground, and that's part of it, but the fourth fewest yards allowed overall. That's right, Carolina, fourth fewest yards allowed overall, third fewest passing yards allowed, third fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. I would not play Trevor Lawrence this week. And I wouldn't play Gardner Minshew, even in a super flex league. I would not do it. The Raiders, 12 sacks, 4 touchdowns, 5 fumble recoveries, 2 interceptions over the last 2 weeks. That's been their resume over the last few games. And Minshew, 9 picks over his last 10 games. It's too wild for me. I can't get it done. This is too sporadic. Sit. Not going to do it. Chuba Hubbard against Jacksonville. I understand, like, if you've been rolling him out as a flex play, but you just keep this thing going. He does have double-digit fantasy points in 5 straight games, but I think the ceiling is capped this week. I don't see a lot of offense. The Jags inside the top 10 at fewest yards allowed per carry. They're 6th in rush DVOA defense as well. Hasn't been super efficient. The touches and the carries have been there, which is nice to see, but I think you could do better this week. Khalil Herbert against Atlanta. Last week, Herbert popped off for 112 yards on 20 carries. He had a touchdown, 18 fantasy points in a half point setting. Sounds like Deontay Foreman is expected back. Just could get crowded, could get ugly, could get messy, hard to trust. Plus, the Falcons have been good against backs. The third fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs, and only 6 rushing touchdowns, which is 2nd in the NFL to Baltimore, who's only allowed 4. Antonio Gibson could have the backfield to himself. I just don't care. San Fran, 3rd fewest rushing yards allowed. Bottom 10 matchup in terms of fantasy points given up to running backs. 3rd fewest points overall allowed. It could be a long game for the Commanders in this spot. And I'm not starting Terry McLaurin either. Just one game with double-digit points since week 8. I just don't trust it. They're going to Jacoby Brissett. I'm just not I'm not buying any of these Washington weapons this week against probably a ticked off San Fran team. Deontay Johnson only picked up 5 targets and 2 grabs last week with Mason Rudolph just 15 yards. It looked like Pickens was the go-to guy there for Rudolph. I think Pickens is the most skilled wide receiver. He's got the big playability there. If you're looking for a home run, I would go with George Pickens. And then Drake London against Chicago on the road. 5 or fewer points in 3 of his last 4 games, 4 of his past 6. Hasn't top 5 catches. He's only top 5 catches actually once over his last 6 games. Just cannot be trusted. He's basically a wide receiver 40. You can do better than Drake London. And Joshua Palmer is on here, but he's ruled out of the game. How about Darren Waller against the Rams? It's a good matchup. The Rams have allowed the third most fantasy points to tight ends, but you know what? Darren Waller, 10 points in fantasy over the last 10 weeks. It's not really cutting it. Two catches for 32 yards in a great spot last week against the Eagles. Wasn't really part of the game plan. And when he was, he had some bad drops. There was a play there where he caught a pass and he rolled over and limped off to the sidelines. You just can't trust this guy. He's been one of the bigger fantasy busts this season. The Giants paid all this money for him. You know, he can't stay on the field. He can't catch a pass. And he's not really involved in the game plan. At least I haven't seen it over the past couple weeks. Seen a little bit more Bellinger than Darren Waller. So I don't think you should risk it in your championship week with Darren Waller. All right, that's it. We're out of here. Good luck. Any questions, hit me up at Chris Meany on X, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You can leave any kind of comment, any kind of questions you have inside the description and the comment section here on YouTube. You're hopping over from iTunes to Spotify. Really do appreciate you guys, even if you hung on this long, 45 minutes to hang out with me. Hopefully you guys had a great, happy holiday, and you have a fantastic New Year's as well. I really hope that we see some fantasy championships and we didn't steer you in the wrong direction here on Mean Streets. Appreciate you guys, all the support. If you can smash the like button, rate, review, subscribe over on iTunes and Spotify, that would be very thankful. Have a good one, guys. Good luck this week. Cheers.